got time, so I told you to order. Everybody have an opportunity to look at the minutes. Questions, comments?
Move them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Well, we will start with what we have here. Very good. You're on.
All right. I'm from Proactor, pharmacy benefit manager, so we have your discount for our screening also coming. I brought just a report that we have run the past few months, including January 2017. I just wanted to stop over and let you guys know how the program is doing, give you a bit of an update on the program, how the program works, or cash card, essentially, for those who are underinsured or underinsured. So it means that anybody who's paying full cash price at the pharmacy counter, this can be so. I mean, if you're putting a gap in coverage, then you're fully insured, but the one prescription that your doctor didn't cover, or your doctor prescribed, it's not on your formulary. You take it and you present it at the pharmacy, and they know what to do with it from there. When we first did it, it was implemented in 2010. We did a mass mailing to every household. That's part of the implementation process. But then you can go online and look up the car and print cars. If you ever have inquiries about it, I can always print more at the office or get a bigger printing done.
Is this a county program?
Yes. Since inception, and it saves over $3 million for your residents. It saves residents between 30% and 70% on
secondary drugs.
Off-brand drugs. And then that's the word I couldn't grab for today. And then brand name is between 20% and 40%, I believe.
And we have cards?
Yes,
if you don't have insurance, or if your
prescription isn't covered by the insurance.
Do you have to sign up for this? Do you have to pay an annual fee?
No. It doesn't cost the county anything. We took a hit when we mailed out the cards. But other than that, it doesn't cost the county anything, it doesn't cost the residents anything.
Walter Frost.
Oh, well,
the cards are out in our cubby or the literature when you come in our office.
Mm-hmm.
And they were distributed for all.
Okay. How do people, general public, get to know about this?
I think I have to look up in my records. A lot of times we do a milestone press release saying, well, it's been around since this long. We will do a press release. I have a template saying, well, if your residents have paid over $300. That kind of thing, just so that people know the program is out there. It has seen a little bit of a decline with the Affordable Care Act, but with change in office and everything like that, it goes up and down. It is directly correlated with the unemployment rate, so this is even more when your unemployment rate is higher.
Where does your company get the revenue from to do this?
It's a back-end processor, but at the local pharmacy, they are charging the most for those who are paying full cash price, so they take the most profit, so they take a hit on the back end. It seems like we're just taking profit from the back end of them, but it's more of they don't mind it because it brings people through their doors.
To buy the product.
Yeah.
So then they give you a kickback?
It is not the actual pharmacy. It is fairly complicated, the back end. It's a processor.
Okay.
Kickback.
For Obamacare.
That's a business term, Carl, not a political term.
Prior to Obamacare, the county was, your savings were $70,000, $80,000 a month. And you can see after Obamacare, it went, wasn't this, January, it dropped this over $15,000. Yeah, and you were at $70,000, $80,000 regularly every month, forever. At zero cost to the county.
Do we know how many active people are using this active card?
Last month it's 234 in time.
Yeah, that's like 1 month. I mean, do we know how many people actually are enrolled in this program?
I do not, and I'm not sure that we can gather information because there is numbers on these cards, just so we use that on our RFC. Maybe this zip code is better than this zip code when we embrace the mission and rolled it out, but it is anonymous, so they had some concern that it first rolled out that we're going to change my information, what does the county want to know what month I'm on, so.
Yeah. The way she has 2,615 cards.
For visits. Cards or visits? Claims?
Card use.
Oh, there you go.
They could have been the same way over and over again. It's just because we're not individualized, so it could have been someone used their car 20 times.
Any family, they send one to each household, so each family can be husband and wife can use it.
How long ago was it? I know you set aside.
2010.
2010.
Implementation date.
Do you have any, information in terms of like digital information that we can share on social media or emails or anything like that?
I definitely do. I can send that over sometime back in the office Wednesday.
Okay.
I can design that however you want. So if you want the county seal on it or information specific to the county is put on there, like a phone number or that kind of thing.
Ken, is it on the county executive's website?
Well, I don't understand. I know that certain even service agencies in the county have materials.
Yeah. If you want to email me, I'll share it with everyone.
Absolutely.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. So sometime by the end of the week, I will send marketing materials, or at least something that you can share with your residents.
Thank
you. We'll leave it a little bit bigger than that. All right,
well, we will. Last resolution. Resolution 81 authorized the chairman of the legislature to enter into an agreement with awareness. Move it.
Second.
This is a $10,000 appropriation to help out the administrative costs. We have a sponsor with us, so if you want to work on it,
nothing really much to say. The contract was both agreed upon by the family and Maurice from the lawyer, and it is what it is. I wanted 20. Got 10.
Sorry.
I had 20.
Yeah.
But she couldn't agree on the contract last year.
Cluster 10 because he threw 10 out of ways and means system this week.
He realized that she hadn't signed the contract. I broke it all, but everybody did. $10,000 is what it is.
All right. Discussion on
it? Maybe we'll drop it down to 5.
You could.
We're voting on the contract, not on actually giving her money. He can't change the contract. Only
Nasty to their own health. I mean, we watch adults who smoke two packs a day.
and do nothing.
I guess it's more a question towards Tim. I know smoking statistics have been tracked for a good while now. I don't know if you're aware, really, this question for Dr. Smith, I guess, but do we have any numbers in Ulster County on youth smoking? Like, is this, my question is it a current serious issue? Like, I mean, it's always never good, but is it, what do our numbers look like in terms of data?
I have to speak to it. First of all, this is not our local law, so I have to speak to it. I don't know that, you know, we have the ability to do this. I don't, you know. That's just, you know, I have my legal review done as I'm sure your attorneys will look at it. That said, you know, we do have a pretty extensive program, because if you look at our county health ratings, it has gone from 34 to 16 over the last several years. It's been a lot of work, and that's by targeting, really micro-targeting the various factors of public health that you can address. And you focus on one of the best things that you can target, and it keeps paying off. And it makes some progress, but there's a lot of work to be done. One of the things that the county executive has talked about in his state of the county address a couple weeks ago, several of you were there, was how we're going to really look at further efforts on youth smoking. I know that you've spoken to both the chairman and the minority leader about collaborating and developing some work products this year. A couple of bits of laws we're interested in. We're interested in looking at the Clean Indoor Air Act with regards to e-cigarettes, possibly looking at the age to buy cigarettes, because we know that 90% of people that get their first cigarette before 18, and it grows exponentially. The longer you can stop a kid from buying a cigarette, the better chances they're not going to be smokers. So we're talking about it, and then we're going to have a little working group working on it with some of the healthcare professionals or advocates. I know that Ken and Hector said they wanted to invite some legislators into the discussion, and a couple of, for example, some TV and some store owners, and not wanted to include some. Looking forward to get that going. I'd love to have, you know, many representatives of the House get really part of it. I'd love to get that going. It's kind of the idea is got a couple of meetings and, you know, really have a dump of everything that we've got, a data, kind of what we believe would be some solutions to some of our issues, and then see what kind of policies we can help you guys put together to get, you know, some more smoking prevention.
Sure. Yeah, I had read some statistics, I think, the other day that in New York State, tobacco use by minors is at an all-time low. And I guess as compared to where it was in the early 90s, I think it's around like 16.
I think it's gone down. I think it's still too high. Yeah. It's gone down quite a bit. Where it's growing though is on the cigarette vaping side.
Oh yeah, sure.
It's really taking off.
Yeah.
That's also 18?
Yes, but currently in New York State it's not regulated by tobacco. And it also isn't restricted from public safety. It's a little easier to talk about changing.
Let me first thoughts on this whole thing. And one of my concerns is that considering that minor smoking is down at an all-time low, and our opiate addiction is at an all-time high here, is will resources possibly be diverted, you know, from things that are a real important issue that the sheriff is dealing with, instead of adding yet another, you know, a duty for them to follow up. And I think that often, you know, resources are better spent where it matters, not shaking down, you know, 17-year-olds who sell loosies. And that's just a thought, you know.
Well, that would be illegal.
Well,
but this is just, even if they have it, they're smoking a cigarette.
Well, I think part of this is the actual law that the distribution as well. So I don't know if it's just trading them or sharing them, or if it's, you know,
going
among their
Well, that's why I'm also curious, like, what is the best, you know, if this, I mean, it's hard because this is legislative first. If there is going to be ongoing discussions with more data provided and a more of a group effort from different arms of the county government to address this issue.
Where's the fine?
Are we being premature?
To pay for the community service chaperone?
There are.
Parents
have to pay for an attorney and a
judge
fee.
Maybe.
$50, $100, and $250.
Plus you have to be
21
to sell them.
So if you work at a convenience store and you're 18 then, you can't sell cigarettes.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, the community service hours seem a little bit on the high side to me, a little excessively punitive, but I'd like to see something that is specific where it would direct them to have to watch, you know, health-oriented videos, you know, about the negative effects of smoking and the dangers of smoking and the consequences of smoking, rather than just a broadly non-specific described, you know, tiering of different levels of community service, you know, for the different levels of offenses. I think Legislative Bridge should be offered the opportunities and maybe revise this a little bit. I'd be open to making a motion to table it.
I have another question. Do you have to be 21 to sell beer in a convenience store?
I don't think so. I know when I worked in restaurants, it was 18.
Yeah, beer, sorry.
Yeah, because this is a minor age assessment. I sell and distribute tobacco products for electronic smoking devices in the course of employment. More such duties as stocking shelves and carrying purchases.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm all for raising the smoking age to 21, but why do we have to have all these tight regulations on possession?
He says he's in a lot of groups already. I mean,
an 18-year-old sells a convenience store.
So, table?
I'll make a motion to table.
He
didn't even show up. Two other committees he's got
to
get to.
There's specific things that we have to abide by as far as the tabling rate, and there's a certain amount of time that you have to wait until.
I'll make the motion.
It says we need legal opinion on it.
Yep. $6,000 with Medicare to provide nursing services to and from all over throughout the day.
Second.
Just for students with ITAs. It's obviously a nurse or an aide that travels with them while they're on bus going back to work.
Good rate, $30, $38.
Four-year
term.
other questions?
I did some research and facts and figures, and I discussed, you know, some issues that still exist within our healthcare system, other issues that, you know, should be addressed and could be improved upon, like the catastrophic health insurance plans, how, you know, a lot of times there's an annual spending cap, which very often is in the $7,000 to $14,000 range, and you're not entitled to any, you know, annual wellness checkup visits, you know, for men or women's health issues. You know, there's obviously some of the research and statistics are similar from myself and Legislator Hefner's resolution from last month. There's also a concern I have about the response that a lot of corporations had to the employer mandate, where, you know, with a 30-hour per week requirement of any corporations that weren't exempt from that, is that it's human resource management and corporate responded by making a lot of employees go to below 30 hours per week. And that's creating a whole new class of working poor that doesn't have insurance, because a lot of these people, like, you earn $10 an hour and you're working 29 hours a week, you know, that's like 1,450 hours a year, you're making $14,500 gross. That would put you over the threshold income level in most states to qualify for state-provided insurance under the funding they get from Medicaid. So I thought that that was an issue that I should put in there. And I think there's a solution that exists in some states where they have sliding scale-based indigent care clinics, where you go in, you show your 1040s, you show your paycheck stubs. You
think Colorado,
right? Right, Colorado, but some other states where you show how much you spend, how much you make. You have to sign a waiver stating, you know, that you're giving truthful written statements. And essentially, the ones in Colorado they have are around agricultural belts, and they're bilingually staffed. So, you know, all the doctors, nurses, and support staff, you know, speak Spanish and English. And, you know, anybody can use those clinics. And I think that's really something that, you know, Congressman Faso and, you know, the executive branch of government in Washington and all the members of Congress need to take a look at expanding, because there's an answer to something where you can bridge the gap and close the gap with people that are still uninsured. You know, even with the Affordable Care Act, how that has assisted in reducing the rates of uninsured in this country. I mean, the reality is the United States healthcare system is ranked 37th in the world, according to the World Health Organization. And, you know, my feeling on it is that the legislative branch of government, not on this committee, but in, you know, in Albany and Washington, they generally take a lazy approach to analyzing healthcare. And I really think that we need to do like a SWOT analysis, you know, strengths, weaknesses, assets, threats. And obviously the biggest weakness of the United States healthcare system is its geographical size. You know, all the nations that are ranked above us in healthcare are geographically smaller nations than we are. You know, France has the greatest ranked, number one ranked healthcare system in the world. They're a geographically small nation. And the life expectancy rate statistics that just came out last week, the United States, I believe, was 42nd. We were ranked in life expectancy, and South Korea was ranked number one. Now, you know, the one issue that was pointed to in a prestigious medical journal was that the disparity in, you know, quality of healthcare and access to healthcare in the United States versus cosmopolitan, large metropolitan areas like in New York City or even Albany, New York, versus a rural area like Appalachia, that's, you know, skewing the statistics, and it's lowering our overall, you know, age of life expectancy. You know, it's something that government could probably throw a ton of money at, and the problem is still going to exist. You know, that's a reality that our geographical size, we're going to have to realize. But I think, you know, we shouldn't just throw in the towel and accept that. I mean, there's things that can be done to improve on our healthcare system. I really think the one suggestion that I make about an expansion, you know, of indigent care, sliding scale-based clinics on a state level, you know, and obviously, the you know, we're going to have to pony up the money for it. The reality is 57 to 63% of all personal bankruptcies, depending on the year, are for medical bills that people can't afford, and 40% of those are for healthcare bills $5,000 or less. So, you know, I think these are things that need to be addressed, and I think there's some really good suggestions in my resolution, and I think there's something that I hope this legislative body can agree on in this committee that should be maintained in the Affordable Care Act. But if there's anything that goes on with any changes or revisions to our current health care laws.
Okay. Yep. In the resolve.
Yes, sir.
I think it would be actually in the third resolve. It might be better because, look, we're not carving out a new replacement for Obamacare. That's the county legislature.
Right.
Okay. You mentioned Colorado. Maybe you could just suggest, you know, that the Oakland County legislature suggests to Congress to look at the Colorado model of medical-based clinics, indigent care, you know, that are blah, blah, blah. Because it seems to me what we're trying to tell people what to do. There's no bill out there right now that says it's in support of
no
idea already. And so you're coming. I mean, it's a noble idea. I got to tell you, I used to, when I first got out of college, I picked the cheapest health care plan that my company offered. It was a company that had these facilities that you went to. It was the worst health care I've ever experienced in my whole life. I'm not saying, you know, that was run by a private company who put, you know, profits before the patients. But I don't know if I agree with that type of, and I'm going to say, socialized healthcare center. But is it because then why aren't you offering it to everybody? Why does somebody have to pay $500 a month for healthcare and another person who doesn't want to work? Or, you know, maybe it can't work, or, you know.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, it's the type of thing where, you know, people are...
But I don't want to debate it. Okay, that's my...
Well, if I changed urge to suggest that, does that make you feel more comfortable? Urges to suggest that?
I mean, even this resolve might even be another whereas instead of a resolve. You know, whereas the state of Colorado has been successful in implementing indigent care medical treatment.
Because, I'll be honest with you, the reason why I put it in there is because in the resolved, that address also addresses the issue of the working poor that are created by the employer mandates where, you know, you're getting people that are working 29 hours a week, making $14,500 a year, or maybe even more if they're making more than $10 an hour, and they don't have health insurance. And then maybe they're stringing along another part-time job where they don't get health insurance, so they're making far too much income where they could qualify for state-covered insurance. But, I mean, that resolves the integrity of... See, my point is, I think we need to do something about even improving upon, you know, the levels of uninsured in this country. And I mean, the reality is society pays for it one way or another. You know,
the uninsured right now. Why are they uninsured? Because they probably don't sign up. Am I correct?
You're saying for the Affordable Care Act or for programs like this?
Well, it's 10.5% of the population.
But there's some people that won't qualify because they don't have the money to pay for it.
Yeah, you don't need money.
Either they're opting out of it and paying the fine, or they fall in that.
That gap, where you don't make enough in order to cover the cost of your health coverage, and you make too little, and you don't have enough in order to subsidize the purchase, because I did have that one statistic in there, and I see you put a lot of time in this, Chris, and you know what, I think if you have the first resolved, I think that's all you need, everything else is just like
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. I had a meeting with John Fassel's aide like 3.5 weeks ago, and it was, you know, 20-25 minutes, and it was a pretty productive meeting, and I gave him a rough draft of this before it was revised. And, you know, Congressman Fassel knows me because Chris Gibson and I worked on Lyme disease together, and Chris Gibson complimented me and told me he reads all my letters to the editor. I usually put maybe 2-3 letters in a year. Local papers about Lyme disease, you know, and, you know, I was participated in a town hall telephone conference call that Congressman Gibson had probably about 2.5 years ago, and Congressman Gibson and I had a private conversation when he spoke at the Best Western for the Chamber of Commerce breakfast, and when I met him and said hi to him for the unveiling of the Veterans Monument, you know, Congressman Gibson, He shook my hand, he looked me in the eye, and he said, you know, Chris, I really want to thank you for working with me on Lyme disease. You know, that it's well, I want to get to you. So my point is, I think, you know, he and Fassel are neighbors. Fassel knew me at our holiday party, so I know you are, Chris. And I think, you know, I think I have an opportunity to really, you know, I'm going to try and get a sit-down meeting personally with Fassel, because he is the voice for our legislative district, you know, and for Congressional District 19. And you know, hopefully that these are suggestions that he'll bring with him down to Washington, and maybe something, you know, to be considered. They'll research some of these ideas. That's what I'm looking to do. You know, I'm not that should be the goal. And I'm not looking, you know, I'm just looking to have a substantive conversation of it. And I was looking to go a little beyond just DHA, because they're talking about. I mean, it does take a rocket scientist to figure out that something's going to happen to the current form of the ACA, and that, you know, whatever comes in the aftermath legislatively, you know, let's hope that it's something that, you know, it leaves the key components of the ACA intact, and maybe can address some of these other issues that I bring up. So if I change that language from urges to suggest that, does that make you happy, Carl?
Well, why don't we? You got 17 whereases. I mean, you worked hard on this document. It's really long.
I know.
It's 4 pages. The 4 page resolution is 17.
3.5.
And we're going to one. 5 resolves.
Okay.
I agree with Kevin. I like the first resolve. The other stuff is fluff or nutter.
But, I mean, I had some other legislators that liked resolve number 2. You know?
A little bit or a lot.
To be honest with you, I mean, I'll probably be honest with you, that I got a suggestion from a Republican legislator on resolve number 2.
Okay. I don't like the third resolve. I'd like it better if it was a whereas. Nathan's whereas.
That's one that mentions Colorado.
No, it doesn't mention Colorado. It should mention
third resolved or whereas.
Oh, I'm sorry. The third resolve. Oh, it does. Yes, I'm sorry. That's just 20 seconds. It's in Colorado. Urges. I'd like that to be a whereas. But that's, you know, you're the sponsor.
Is that going to make the difference on your vote?
No, because I'm not going to be here. Unfortunately.
It's going to make your difference on the boat this evening?
You're going to fly your ship in from the nest?
I don't know. Depends.
How about if I change it to suggest that? Well,
there's no Wi-Fi in the house I'm renting, so...
How do you feel about that, Chairman Lopez?
I feel that if, that it's a pleasure the committee wants to change that to a whereas. And it gets rid of the last resolve, then, you know, we have a little bit of compromise there now that we don't have three resolves. And if there's somebody who specifically liked the language in the second one, then... to me, if you change it as a whereas and you leave the two resolves, I don't know, it's a kind of...
One in five, that's all you need.
Then I am okay with that.
I'm okay with two.
Yeah.
I make a motion... I'd like to make a motion to move the third resolve into a whereas.
All right, I'll second that.
Go around number four.
That is an important issue, though. That's a really important issue. That's going on. Oh, to a lot of people. You don't have any prescription drug costs? Not yet?
That was a donut hole.
The donut hole's a big deal. That's huge. That's one of the biggest issues that even with the Affordable Care Act.
I know.
That's what I'm saying, but we should really look how to make our healthcare system the best that we possibly can.
And we can't do it from here.
No, but, I mean, as legislators, as part-time legislators, if we have the time to come up with a great idea and pass it along to a full-time legislator in Washington who has to spend 15 to 25 hours a week raising money just so he can stay in office. I mean, what's the crime in that, Kevin?
I commend you for taking the time and putting this together.
I might check that Daddy Joe's.
All right.
I'm just going to have to see what's
so where would that whereas best fit in? Does anybody here want to stylistically look over this here real quick?
Yeah, let's put it right under the first resolve. I mean, that's
before the first resolve. Okay. All right. I'll make a motion that I'm going to move it. And but we can leave it as urges. We can leave the language the same. Because urges is stronger than suggestions.
Whereas is to me or to me, it's the resolve that part of any resolution.
Probably most people in here are memorializing resolutions, right?
That's right. Relax the rock.
However, I've got a couple good ones coming up next month. So, No, they won't be long like this. No, they will. They'll be coming through the street. They'll be much shorter, though, I promise.
Alright, so you're going to move the third resolve into a whereas.
Yes, and the whereas.
You're going to strike the fifth resolve?
The donut's important.
The donut
hole is important.
That's my understanding. All right. The hole is already there.
Is it with the Affordable Care Act?
It really needs improvement on it. It's not, even with the Affordable Care Act, the current donut hole is, I mean,
right? I mean, I know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's a bigger issue for Medicare, for seniors that are on Medicare.
And they're talking about
that supplement.
Yeah, right before I left the house,
All
in favor?
Aye.
Excuse me, is the chairman called?
Aye.
Wait, he bought it, right?
He's fine. Yeah. He's a cabin. Out of control. All right. Is there anything else? Yeah, honestly, like, to me, it's Memorial Day resolution again, and we always go back to this. Yeah, again, I commend you for putting this together because I think it's more inclusive, you know. And no offense to Jonathan at all, I just think that this seems to offer more of more unity than maybe the one previously. But yeah, I don't like up or down votes, yes or no votes on something that's so difficult. And the ACA is probably a more complex piece of legislation in my life. And to reduce that and expect us to vote yes or no on either, you know, being for or against the whole repeal, I guess that's pretty short-sighted. This, to me, offers some solutions. I don't agree with it in its entirety, but it's good enough for today. Kevin?
I'm good.
You good?
Yeah.
All right.
I can't promise you what I'm going to do next Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well,
you're going to have
another resolution?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. All right.
All
right. Okay. You have it? And you're all?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Sure. All right.
Jonathan did a good job bringing up the discussion, you know, last month.
That's really nice.
Yeah. Swallow good night.
Thank you, Ken. Swallow good night. Any new? Any old? Brother?
I still don't really understand how these people make money, but
it's crazy.
Well, it's a complex back-end formula.
Yeah.
But I guess companies
I don't think she knows. They just give her a narrative to say.
I think she was a little bit overwhelmed.
Oh, then she's not right to ask her question.
Yeah.
You won't get that answer.
Good answer.
That was Walter, man. I just wanted to be a
student. I don't know about that. And, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Motion to adjourn. I'll make a motion to
adjourn. Thank you.
And second.
All right, Carl seconded.
Something like this, we should.
All in favor.